A correction to the theme of the topic. Soon I'll give the Eidos. My father also possibly Eidos, but that's not. I gave a share the other night about Haskaras, Alanisim, and Yalvi Yavo, and Davening. So we said on the Mamakamas, Haskos. They left out the race. It's better to give chus to say I need to say I'll be able. So I started out talking about what his chus it is to be able. They talked about the top. Okay. If I say we barely scratched the beginning of the next sugya, and the truth is that the next three sugyas really very, very much related to one another. Believe it or not, we're a little bit off of Cheskes Abatim for now. We're going to some of our regular topics in terms of Cheskes Markama, Muksa, Rol, those kind of stuff. We put a little bit on hold. Don't worry, they're not disappearing forever, just for a little bit of time. And the next three topics really merge together in order to understand really the Shach V'Tayyeh and the bottom of Chav Testament Aleph. The Gemara is dealing with a very technical question, and then the Gemara segues into a very, very halachic answer. The technical question is, how in the world do we ever get three real years of Eidos for Cheskes Habatim? Because after all, Huna just taught us that you have to have Gimel Shar Mitzufis. You can't have 1 year here, and then the guy disappears for a few years, comes back for another year. It's got to be 3 years consecutively. So too, when it comes to Batim, it have to be three consecutive years, and consecutive years means day and night. So you have to pull off a stunt to have two Edim come and testify. If the guy, Mamish, lived there every day and every night, it's almost impossible to pull off such a stunt. You know, we spoke a little bit yesterday. You can get three different sets of eight. Okay, that's true. You can play games a little bit. There's no chatzidavar issues. But in kozah, it's still hard. Man basad alaylas. Who's going to be made? Who's up 2 o'clock? Except for why you guys. Who's up at 2 o'clock in the morning? I'm just at a Hanukkah party the other night. So somebody was giving a drasha, a very, very chassidish part. I wouldn't have said this. It's a nice thought, but I don't think that's pshat. So why the Chazal say shetichla regev hashuk? Why say shetichla reglayim in hashuk? I wouldn't have lost too much sleep over the kasha. Shetichla regev hashuk. Because a yid is never allowed to have both of his reglayim in the shuk. You have to go out to work, okay? So you go out with 1 foot in the work. You always keep 1 foot in the basement. It's only you have to read it. It's one of those words that's beautiful, and the thought is very true, and there's absolutely no correlation at all. Okay, hey, back to the story. So the Gemara started to figure out who's going to be made at 2 o'clock in the morning. So the Gemara came up with a fascinating solution. Gemara says, Rabba says that the two Edim are going to be, lo and behold, the guys who lived in the house. I mean, the guys who lived in the house. Not the supposed new owner of the house, the tenants of that original, not the original, the newfound owner. So the newfound owner, the supposed new owner, is renting out a house, the two Yeshiva guys, and they're there, Bambi over in the Lila. And they're going to be made, we are living in the house, Mikoyach the Machzik, he's the one whose name is on the lease, so we are, and we've been paying him rent for the last 3 years. So we're testifying that he is the rightful owner. He's been Eichel as a Peiros. You know, this is not Eichel as a Peiros like a farmer. This like a city boy is Eichel as a Peiros. This is not rural. This urban Eichel as a Peiros. Getting rent. It's the Eichel as a Peiros. Go to the zone. That's the Kibbutz Gemara. Gavaldik answer. Great. Wonderful. So Mitam Ches Tevatim, we're good to go. It comes to Gemara now, Mitam Ches Sanhedrin, Mitam Ches Eidos, and it's a very, very serious problem. And it's this one Kashi the Gemara, and the one potential answer of the Gemara that sets into motion three full sugyas to come. So comes the Gemara and asks, Amalei Rav Yemer Rav Ashi, how do you make this? Said, hey, these Edim, they're terrible Edim. They're puzzled to be Edim. They're Negev Dover. Why are they Negev Dover? They have an incentive to testify the way they are. Dila Hami Hachi, if they're going to come and not tell us that he's the owner. Imagine now, the entire breaks out between the original owner and this newfangled, new supposed owner. And these two guys come to Beis Din. Of course they're going to testify in favor of the new owner. You know why? Because if not, if they don't come forth and testify that the landlord on the lease is the MSA owner, so it's going to cost them a pretty penny. They just paid rent to the wrong guy. They're going to have to go pay back pay rent for the last 3 years and go fight it out in the Din Torah. Who knows they're going to win the Din Torah for this new guy. Very, very. So they have a Negiyah B'Dover. They have an incentive. They have reason to testify in a certain direction. Chenegev Dov is possibly Yedus. The Gemara says, come on. Kasha, that's the Kasha. Amalei Daini, Shvili Hochi Daini. You're right. Low-level Dayonim. Dayonim don't know anything. They don't know the ABCs about the Psuli Yedus. Would be Machshir Azah Yedus. Such Eidim on Nogev Dov. But Rava didn't mean, Rava was not a Dayin Shvili by any stretch of imagination. Rava knew what he was doing. So according to Rava, what's the case? Mirtei Eskinan, going to the Kiti Agadesa, Raman the Malaysvi. They haven't paid the rent yet. You thought the case was they already paid the rent for every month, they've been paying on time, like good tenants, and now they have an Agibadov, they have an incentive to say that the new owner is the real owner. Nah, they haven't paid anything yet. 3 years, they're behind pay. They're back rent for 3 years already. Why weren't they evicted? Gosh, the Maisa, eviction laws, Maisa, Mr. Alt will tell us about rent eviction clauses, Maisa, COVID extensions. I don't even know what. The Maisa, they weren't thrown out of the house, but they haven't paid. Now, Kumtois, they want to pay the rent. They couldn't care less who they're going to start off the check. They'll stick it in the Yenim account, the Shmenim account. What do they care? So they're not no Geb and Dover to say one way or the other, but now they're going to come forward as two honest guys. They haven't paid the rent, but there's a lot of guys. They're not cut off him. They just didn't have any money. So now we call upon them. We say, could you, Mr. Yankel and Shmero, please come and be made? Who is the rightful owner of the house? So say, what do you mean who's the rightful owner? Of course the new guy is. He's the guy who rented it out. He's the landlord. He's been knocking on the door every day asking for the rent. Of course he's the guy we've been dealing with. The original guy? We haven't heard from him in years. He's been he's been in China for the last 3 years. We haven't heard any machos from him. So they're being made al chaskas about them, and they're being made in a tzura that they're not negev bedover. So therefore, Ravashi defended Rava Zukimta from Rav Yema's kasha. Baruch Hashem chaskas about them stands, and we have a good eight. Everything's hunky dory. Shalom Yisro.
What was the original hobby? That they be negev bedover? Why don't we say that the original owner would have to go and take the money from the person that they paid rent to? And why are we not saying that?
You mean inochinami. These guys are never going to really have to lose money because they'll always go and get it. The money will end. Because that has it to be a mistake, right? Because you think, well, I have a claim against them. I'll get the money. No big deal, right? Everything's easy. Talk to your dad about that. Just because you have a claim against somebody doesn't always mean that's going to translate into getting the money back. So that's very nice. I paid rent. Imagine this, right? Imagine you rent the house from me. And you're paying rent. And the Gloy Mill said I wasn't the rightful owner of the house. Reuven is the real rightful owner. So Reuven takes you to a din Torah. So you're going to say to Reuven, go after Sobolovsky. Reuven's saying, who is Sobolovsky? What do you pay rent to the wrong guy for? You go deal with Sobolovsky. Sobolovsky, meanwhile, took all the money and he's ready, took his wife on a long, long awaited vacation. We're ready celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. It's a little while off from now. And Sean. So I'm still in the game, though. It's much cleaner, much easier for me to simply be made the sheker. So the Chai Rabbi say, you see Yisoid in our Gemara, which is really not such a monumental Yisoid, we know this from other Gemaras, it's Poshut, then Negev Bedover is possibly Yedus. That's clear as day. Whether or not this case is Negev Bedover depends whether he did or didn't pay the rent yet, but Negev Bedover is definitely a possibly Yedus. Again, this is not the only Gemara in Shas. This is not even the only Gemara in Chesabatim that talks about Negev Bedover. So Rabbi say, any and every time you learn about an individual's possibly Eidus, the wheels have to turn. You have to start to ask yourself a question. There are multiple categories of possibly Eidus. And we always lump them all together. Relatives apostle, and bank robbers apostle, and women apostles, and Ta'am apostle, and Goyim apostle, and the Kenani apostle. There are a lot of people out there possibly Eidus. But they're not necessarily all in the same camp. And this is a Gemara actually towards the end of Abbas, the end of the ninth parak, where the Gemara compares and contrasts two different individuals who are possibly Eidus. They're both possibly Torah. Each one learned that from a different possible. But in Lomdus, they're radically different from one another. One is a Karov, one is a Rasha. A Karov, do we really think that he's lying? Moshe and Aaron come to be made together. Krovim can't be made together. So one aid is Moshe Rabbeinu, and one the other is Aaron HaKohen. And they work at the Beis Din to be made. You know what we do? We toss him out. Can't accept you. Shemenu. I'm a clean. You think the chashash v'shaker? What, are you crazy out of your mind? So why are they puzzled? Kach never aloch exerza nalachi exerza kosa v'kasha v'maisa. Why are they puzzled? So I state the hemen yitayra. Et epsul v'hoid. Do we think that they're lying? Not in a million years.
What happens if one comes, they come together, now they're puzzled, but if I find a third one.
Oh, you gotta wait for later as the sukkah develops. It's echar of parfum. That's already a whole another loaded question. It's going to be an important question, but not yet. We're not there. Give me another scenario. Two guys come in. Give me some good famous Ganavim. Come on, give me. What?
Famous
Ganavim
or famous
Rashad? Ben Drusoy. What do you mean? Ben Drusoy and Billy the Kid are going to be made. Billy the Kid, wasn't he a Ganav?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and what was the other guy? Jesse James?
Jesse James.
Well, he was also some bank. Who used to rob the stagecoaches out west? Wasn't that him?
Yeah, let's say yes.
Okay.
Billy the Kid.
And Jesse James also, no?
Jesse James, yeah.
He was also. Okay. So Billy the Kid, Jesse James, assuming that they're Jewish. Okay? So, Yishai Yirmiyahu, and Velvel. Velvel, Billy, William. So the two Adam walk at the Beis Din, and with their guns loaded, you know, with their pockets stuffed with all the money they stole off the stagecoach and the banks that they robbed, and they come and want to testify. Torah Kedosha says, "Al Tashis Rashi Yerchal Lios Ed Chomos." Tashis Yerchal Moshe Yos Chomos. You can't be accepting the Harasha Rosh the Chomos. You can't be made. No, they're really, really honest. They're really telling the truth. Just the Torah says they can't be made. Come on. Obviously, the Torah is being mishaya for us that there's a concern of sheker here. So comes the Gemara at the end of the ninth kind of Avasha and says, both scenarios, Moshe and Aaron apostle and these guys are apostles, but it's a different kind of psul. And then Nafkaminas Ladina between the different kinds of psul, even though they're both apostles. So now we have a Gemara of Avasha Choftes that's presupposing there's a psul of Nagei B'Dava. Gemara is later, Rav of Avasha, there's a Ninum of Nagei Apostle. So shy of Nagei Apostle. What's the nature of the din that Nagei B'Dava is apostle? So one can understand in one of two ways. Either one can understand that it's like a chashash b'shaker. There's reason to believe he may be lying. I can't say with certainty, but he has an incentive to lie. So that's the reason why it's possible. Simply a hashara that the halacha is making is chashash b'shaker. What do I say? No. We don't have to assume that he's lying. Basically, just because he'll make a few dollars, I mean, still, you know, if a guy walked the base and he made it to Sheker for a few dollars, it's unlikely that he's really being Mishaker. But the halacha is still possible. It's like, Xeris across that is possible. Kach never halacha is possible. It's like, crying. There's only just one small technical problem with that second approach. What's the problem with the second approach? Where's the possible? What possible? Who possible? Where possible? So we know Nogay is possible. It's a Gemara Choftes Mabasa. It's a Gemara later on in Gimel Mabasa. I mean, that's not really Nogay. That's Krovim. The Krovim we said for Gair Krovim is not really not the same. L'chora. So I want to know, like where does Psul come from? If it's not just the Hashara that we're just making up, so to speak, that there's a Hashara Shrach, so where does it come from? So there's got to be a Psul. So this Altar's onto something, but we need a few steps to get to where he's onto. So maybe we could push the question back a little bit and make the following statement. I walk at the Beis Din. I bring another eight together with me. Walk at the Beis Din. I make the following statement. Me together with the other eight, Tech de Dibur, Jeremy broke my window. I want to get reimbursed. I would call you not even Diana Shvili. I'd say you should find another job if you're going to pass it to Shaila. You know what?
You're in the party.
I'm a Baldover. Forget the Gebedover. I'm a Baldover. I'm the guy. I'm the fellow himself. With Azar. System. What a justice system. I'll be the litigant, I'll be the witness, I'll be the dayan. There's only one being who could do that. Benish Lovers. Yodea, V'eid, Dayan, Kaisei, V'chaisei, V'seifer, my non-imbashim could do all that. Everybody else, I can't be the Baldover. I can't wear the same hat as Baldover and Dayan. Could one argue that that's where an Ogeh B'Dover is? An Ogeh B'Dover, since you have a Negeh B'Dover, do this to Baldover. Now, it's not a real Baldover. This is not as bad as the case I depicted for you. The case I depict is that I am Mamish the claimant. I'm Mamish the guy himself. An Ogeh B'Dover is a shtickle extension of Baldover. That's the same word, Dover Dover. Talk about me a moment. It's the same word Dover in there. So not only is a Baldover apostle, even an Ogeh B'Dover is also like a shtick Baldover. I'll ask you another question. I'll push the question back. Why is a Baldover possible? Why can't a Baldover be made? Why can't I walk into Beis Din and say, Jeremy broke my window? Don't say to be chashash b'shaka, because if you say that, I'm going to laugh at you, so then you just kill my chakira. So I want an objective reason why a Baldover is possible. And again, I'm making a few assumptions here. I'm making A equals B equals C. I'm telling you, an Ogeh B'Dover, Ken Zion is a Baldover. And a Baldover is possible because he's an X. I want to know X. First, the algebra. What's his X?
Adam Karabetz Osman.
Oh, so between Mr. Author and Usher, we just came up with a new theory. Well, you must have some part of it. Now, 2 minutes ago, I laughed Mr. Author out. I said, come on, that's it. Now I'm bringing him back. I can't be made for my brother. I can't be made for my father. I can't be made for my son. Because the DNA is just a little bit too close. He's just a little bit, you know, we're palsy-walsy, me and my brother, me and my son. I'm not to have a brother, but my father, my sons. We're too close to one another. You know who my closest relative is? My identical twin. You know who that is? Myself. I got the exact same DNA as myself. Tell how much genetics I studied back in the heyday. I'm a close relative to myself than to anybody else. That's the Lashon of Gemara. And therefore, once you're willing to make that leap of faith, that an Ogeh B'Dover is like a Shtik Baldover, and a Baldover is like a Shtik Karov, you want to know why an Ogeh B'Dover is possible? The Ogeh B'Dover is possible because it exists because of Kurva. It's not rooted in some hash'ara that Chazal made up and said, I'm going to stop it, the guy's lying. No, I'm not being dumb. Shemesh is only us, Abla, people don't lie. Billy the Kid lies. A regular firm yid doesn't lie. I can make a few dollars. Come on, for a few dollars, you're going to lie. Who's going to lie for a few dollars? Tuchpista Baldova. That's what's possible. So all of a sudden, we have this major chakir now in front of our very eyes. We know no gear is possible. Rabasa Chavtes, Rabasa Mem Gimel. Sugish Shlemus and Shas, no gear is possible. We can't quite put our finger on what the nature of the psul is. The nature of the psul rooted in some kind of a concern of lying, which has its roots more in the Pashup and Gazlodim and Rishon, or is it rooted in Exeris HaKosov Tikadid of Baldover slash Karov?
What would be enough for me if
I may ask? Oh, you may ask, and that's going to be the rest of the Shia. Okay? Good day you ask, Mr. Mal. So we have a very, very complicated Gemara in the second of the Ma'am Kermis. Very, very complicated. I remember when my youngest son, Avim Zev, was learning Rabbi Basra, he was in ninth grade, or learning Rabbi Basra, Urichas Tabatim. I remember he used to try to chazer a little bit over Shabbos. We were going through every one of these cases. It was so complicated. So you get to them with the principle of halachas. You have to like, carve away all the details so you figure out what in the world the Gemara is finally getting to. So comes the Gemara Gufa in the Mdanwa days. I'm a Rabbin Bashmuel, Mishmei Dishmuel. Hamaych Hasad L'chaveir Shlev Yechrayis Eneid Lo Yaleha. What? Who? Man, what? So many people here already getting confused. Reuven owns a field. We assume he's the owner. We have it otherwise. We haven't heard of any Ma'ar at this point. But Reuven owns the field. Very good. And he sells the field to Shimon. Now, when you sell a field to somebody, there are two ways you can sell it. You can sell it Be'achrayas, you can sell Shlo Be'achrayas. Be'achrayas means you write a clause into the contract, into the shtar, saying that if something happens to this field gets taken away from you. Now, it can be taken away from you for multiple reasons. It can be taken away from you, maybe what? Maybe I wasn't the real owner in the first place. Maybe I stole the field. Or maybe I didn't steal the field, but maybe someone has a chayv against me. So there's a shiva nechasim on this field. So I could write into the contract that I'm hereby mekabel upon myself. If that field gets taken away from you, I'm gonna reimburse you. I'm gonna stand up to the, stand behind my word, stand behind my deal. That's mecha shta mecha veiro stav lechaveir
bechrayis. I'm assuming though it has to be it's taken away because of some problem that exists with moving. Now if Shimon bought the field, Shimon has to pay a debt, and Shimon
pays. Shimon pays the debt with the field that he bought. He's not come back
to
Reuven.
Yeah,
of course, yes. Or sometimes you may want to pay by sell a field. Shalom bechrayis. I'm not willing to stand up to that. I'm not willing to stand by my word. Buy or beware, by your own risk. I'm telling you, I don't remember owing anybody money. I think the field's mine, but you know what? You know, be sure. Why would a guy in a million years buy a field? Shalom Yechrayis, what's the answer? Because it's going to be less. If you're going to go start put title insurance and all kind of mice, it's going to jack up the price. So Shimon's willing to risk it. He thinks Reuven's probably telling him the truth. You know, it's not such an expensive piece of real estate anyway, so... $1,000, I'll take the chance that no one's going to come after me. I would imagine if it's a pretty expensive piece of real estate, you'd probably want to have some form of achrayus. I would imagine. I remember when we bought our house, so it was get slapped with another cost. Then they tell you you have to get title, like title insurance is called. So I remember thinking to myself, title insurance, it's this kabbalas achrayus, it's this kabbalas achrayus. Whatever the lumdus was, cost a pretty penny. So everything, that's what's going on here also. There's nothing free in the world, except for Torah and air. Otherwise, there's nothing free in the world. So comes the Gemara and says, I chose to sell the field to my friend, he chose to buy it, shalo bi achrayus. Ain made lo aleha. And now, believe it or not, another guy comes and claims that he's the rightful owner of the field. Reuven never owned the field in the first place. And he starts as Adin Torah, as Ma'ara, and look at the Chesed Gimashom, look at the Edom Gavalt, and the whole Sipur now. So poor Shimon bought the field, and this lady's coming and screaming the field is actually his. And Shimon's looking around, scrounging around for Edom to be made that the field really belonged to Reuven. So Shimon comes up with a great idea. Who's going to be a great aid over here? Reuven. Let Reuven come and be one of the aidim to testify that it's not his anymore. He was the rightful owner. Is that a problem of a Baal Dover being made? No, because he's not what? He's not a Baal Dover anymore. He sold the field a few years ago already. Shimon supposedly sold the field that he supposedly owned or maybe doesn't own. We don't know. So it's possible for Reuven to come forward and be the aid. So Shmuel didn't even bother telling you the following. Let's say that Reuven sold that field Biachrayus. Would anybody dream in a million years that Reuven could be made now in that field? That's crazy. You know why? Ain lechalad gadol mizeh. Lechem negev gadol. Why? Because if that field ends up getting taken away from Shimon, it's going to cost Reuven. He's going to give back all the money that he got for the field. So obviously, if the Mechiris HaSod was Biachrayis, I don't need to combine Shmuel and Memgibulim and Basra. Any time to get out, I can figure that out. About that's in a game. Shmuel's Chiddush is that even if the Mechira to Shimon was done Shelo Biachrayis, Reuven still can't be made. Which is really a teller. Why is he not giving them? What does Reuven have to gain? Reuven sold the field, he's gone. Reuven's got the money, and he's not reimbursing Shimon no matter what happens. Whether Shimon keeps the field or does it, Shimon's not getting a penny back from Reuven. So Reuven has no incentive to testify on behalf of Shimon. So why is he? Why can't he be made? So that's the Chiddush of Shmuel. I'm a rabbin by Shmuel, which means Shmuel. I'm not saying Shalom Yechrayis. Eimed Aleh Wat Meshamid Beval Chayvai. Reuven wants that field to remain with Shimon's house, Shimon's home. Reuven does not want Levi to win this Din Torah. He very, very, very much wants the Pesach HaBeizim to be that Reuven was the honest, the goodest owner of the field that was sold to Shimon Kedas HaChadin. Reuven wants that. Why does Reuven want that? Reuven's
reputation.
His reputation. Reuven couldn't care less about Shimon. But you know what Reuven does want? Reuven knows in the back of his mind that there may be a Baal Chayv floating around that he owes money to. And he wants that Baal Chayv to be able to go and collect the field from Shimon. Because you have to only count the sheep and the chasim on that field. So Reuben in the back of his mind knows, I'm going to be made that the field belongs to Shimon, i.e. it belonged to me, because that will kick in Shimon Nechasim, and Shimon's going to have to pay up that field, and I can continue my vacation, not to be bothered by Baal Chayiv anymore. But if Igloy Milsa, that Levi wins the Din Torah, the field never belonged to Shimon, because it never belonged to Reuben, and there was no Shimon Nechasim on it, and who's going to have to now pay off the Baal Chayiv? Reuben. So Reuben has an incentive here. I need Shmuel. Shmuel's with Dayan. You need Shmuel to figure out this incentive. If it was Bechrayas, even I could figure out the incentive. But if Shmuel Bechrayas, that's the incentive. Shmuel need to play Baal Chayiv. So the Gemara questions Shmuel's statement. Gemara says, really? What's the case? Give me a case. Hey Chidomi, what's the case? In the Isleara Charite, a lady Dehoder. If Reuven has other land already that he hasn't sold off to Shimon. When the Baal Chayiv of Reuven comes knocking on the door, where's he going? What's his address? He's going to the field that Reuven sold off to Shimon, or he's going to who? There's a fourth guy here now, Yehuda. Yehuda's the Baal Chayiv. So Yehuda has a shtar chayiv against Reuven. Reuven, I'm here to collect. Where's he collecting from? From the house that Reuven still owns, or from the land that he sold off to Shimon 6 months ago? Of course he goes to the house that Reuven owns. That's a Mishnah Gittin. That ain nifrom nechas mishubadim b'makom sheish b'nei chayrin. You only have a right to go to mishubadim when there are no b'nei chayrin. If the Lev himself still owns land, and the Mishnah has a chiddush, even though the land that the Lova owns is ziburis, is the cheapest land, and Malchav usually has the right to collect from Vedanis, tiknu chachav rei tikkun ha'olam, we're only going to go to nechas mishubadim as a last resort. We don't like to take nechas mishubadim mitakonas l'kuchos, say the Lukuch, it's bad for Lukuch, bad for the economy to start buying houses and then having those houses taken away from you. It's not something that we like. Lays braver, Shib Nechosim, there is a concept, Shib Nechosim, but it's an absolute last resort. And therefore, if the Loib has any not yet sold Nechosim, we're going to go after those first. So you must understand, if Reuven still owns land, we're going after his land. We're not going after Shimon's land anyway. So what's the give it over? He delays the Arachariting. If Reuven doesn't have any other land, Manafka Lemina. What's the Gemara's Kasha? Reuven doesn't have any land. What's the Gemara's Kasha? What? He's not paying back the schol anyway. He's bankrupt. So we said Reuven has this unbelievable incentive. He's going to come to Bezdin, give an aid to Sheker, because as a Megabin Dover, because he wants to make sure to pay off his chayiv with Shimon's land, not with his own land. He doesn't have land anyway. This chav is not going to be paid up anyway. So what in the world does Reuven gain by being made falsely that this was his land and now in Shimon's property? Belafochi is not paying back the chayiv. So the Gemara has Shmuel in the corner. It's a checkmate. The Manushach. If Reuven has land, we're not going after Shimon's land anyway. If Reuven doesn't have land, he's not paying back the chayiv anyway. What is the most startling thing about this Gemara? Startling or startling? You have to think like Shakranim. You guys are too honest. You just made a mistake. Think like a conniver. Even though I don't have land, I still really, really want the Bachov to collect from Shimon. You know why? Because I want to get this Bachov off my back. You know why? I may not have land now. Maybe I'll have a turn of fortune. In 6 months, I'll get land. How can the Gemara make such a statement? He delays like nichsei my nafka lamino. My nafka lamino. I don't want the guy to be walking, knocking on my door every day to see whether I bought land. That's Akasha. The Gemara completely and totally ignores that scenario. Why? Tzarchian? Hopefully we'll find out much, much later on. But not for now. Keep that in the back burner. So the Gemara has Shmuel in the back, in the corner. Let's get Shmuel exactly what he wants to Hilgat Meir Shmuel. The Gemara says, I don't understand where it's going to give it over. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. The Gemara says, La'ilam delays the Arach Hariti. Reuven has no land. And he still has an Egiyah B'dover that his Balchov should get paid. You know why? The Yomel Onicha Delevei Levei Rosh Yishalim. So he said correctly, He has his reputation at stake. He doesn't want people when it comes to, you know, shul tomorrow morning, and the gabbai calls off for shlishi, he doesn't want to remember, he's getting shlishi. They're giving him Zayis Chanukah Aliyah. Him! He's the Adam of the Nivak of Chayimnis. So he doesn't want to be known as the guy who doesn't return his Chayimnis. So he has a shtichel negiyah. Should be a levi rosh lo yishal. Ad kan for our purposes. Hashem, we read this out of belief. We say, Shmuel, that means Hakidori. Coming to Rimagash. Rimagash, the Talmud Muvok and the Rif. The Rebbe of Rabbeinu Maimon, the father of the Rambam. Comes to Rimagash and says, I don't understand this Gemara. I want to get into the heart and soul, into the subconscious of Reuven, and understand why he's called the Negev Adover. He's called the Negev Adover because he doesn't want to be a Russia. That's his Negia. He doesn't want to be a Russia. He doesn't want to be Azen Nema Love Russia Vali Shalin. And therefore he's called the Negev Adover. What's the Kash of Rimagash? Yesh Kan Lishol. Hey, Chashina may be a Desheka, Kehech the Levi Love Russia Vali Shalin. The Russia they check it Tfei Chomir, the Odin Russia, the Love Russia Vali Shalin. It's Rimagash's Kasha. Did you hear what you just said? Says the Rimagash of the Gemara. Reuven's coming forward, and we're trying to assess, do we have to be afraid that he's going to lie or not? We're trying to size this guy up. Is he a kind of guy who has a negi or not? In Didi Mamnus, he has no negis. Why? He has no money anyway. So it's not going to cost him anyway, no matter what, when the shipment ends up with the field. He's not paying back this one. This Balchad Yud is going getting lost in the shuffle. Reuven is not paying anybody one iota, one penny. What's the Negev Adover? He doesn't want to be called a Rasha. So we're dealing with a very, very religious guy. He's a scrupulous individual. He can't tolerate people should say azah about him, love a Rasha, love a Shalit. So because of that, we're chayshesh. That what? That he's going to lie and based him. What's up? If the whole Negia is not a Negia's moment, it's a Negia outs being called a Russia, it's ludicrous to say because he's afraid to be called a Russia, therefore we're saying he's lying and based in, knowing full well that he's been called a Russia. Then Ribagash draws some Sukhmag, which says, and by the way, a guy who's made and based in the Shekhar is called a Russia by the Chumash itself. The Shiva is out of Russia. The guy who doesn't pay back his chayvus is only called a Russia by what? Lo be Russia. Where's that pasuk? Mishle. Between you and me. I mean, Bene. 99% of the guys never heard of Mishle. And even the 1% who heard of the book Mishle never heard of the pasuk in Mishle. And if not for Vavasim and Gibel, you never would have known Lo be Russia, Lo Shalom. I mean, come on. But Eid Shekhar, that's pretty tough. The first time I heard about just how bad it is to be made Shatay would happen. My Shekhar. But did he have Ofta? I was in sixth grade, and a bunch of us were doing things we probably shouldn't have been doing, and some school property got damaged in the process. And the principal called a few of us into the office to testify as to what exactly did or did not happen at the time. And we were apostle agents for so many reasons. First of all, we were Ketanim. Second of all, we were all Bali Dover. We were all no given agents. There were so many problems with this case. But I'll never forget, as we started to like fumfka a little bit, you know, the principal saw we were getting ready to host it for Rishasa. We were taking a fumfka and give it. I remember, I still shake till this day. He takes a chumash out. He turns to the Aseres HaDibros. It says the pasuk, "Losane v'reicha eishaker." I mean, if I would have been smart, I would have said, "There's nothing to do with this topic." I'm not being made. I'm being made that I didn't destroy the property. I'm not saying the other guy. First of all, the gevdava dos baldina. Come on, this is so unfair. Such a misapplication of the pasuk. But he had the job done. And he shook us. They said, "Do you understand what it means? The seres hadibros, the Ten Commandments." We knew that. We all saw the movie. That is, come on. This is the real serious stuff. So comes Rebbe Gash, says that instead. You're afraid the guy is going to violate the Aseres Nedibros. So he shouldn't be called the Pasuk. He should be called a Rasha by a Pasuk Mishlei. I mean, come on. That's the Rebbe Gash.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
Maybe the person only cares about the way others view them.
Well, why would they rush? Rebbe Gash. V'yesh l'hoshiv. It's about 10 lines down to the end of the line. V'yesh l'hoshiv v'she'el l'zu. The hadya minin lo nichalei de levi ru lo v'rosh l'shalem lo yitzes de shemayim hu lo nichalei b'ochi. What do you mean he's a lover of Rosh Hashalim? We're afraid that the guy feels miserable for morals and ethics, that he's not paying back his chayvus. That's what lover Rosh Hashalim means to him. Have they honest? He doesn't have any money. What kind of Rosh is he? Elahayd lo nichle bach latzeis de abriyasu. He came into chazleid lover l'sham korle Rosha. We're not dealing with the guy. The guy's not a gazah in the Vardik. He's a gazah bal musar that he can't. He's going nuts. That the Rebbe Hashem thinks that he's a Rasha. Yeah. Between him and the Rebbe Hashem. Hashem understands. You know, we've heard that. Hashem knows me. I can do Chalsha. Hashem knows. We're close. I cannot pay back my chayfis. That's okay. But I need money. What do you want from me? But I don't want the guy in shul to snicker. I don't want the guy in, you know, the guy in front of me in the line in the supermarket. The guy doesn't pay his bills. I wouldn't trust him. That's what I'm nervous about. Therefore, the guy says, also from color. He says, yeah, we're afraid the guy's going to violate the Sefer Sedibris. He's going to be made in a shech. You know why? Because nobody's going to know. Except for the brush. The brush, he's okay with the brush. He's okay. He's got it in. So the love of Rosh Hashanah doesn't mean we're talking about frumkei. We're talking about reputation. The Ene Avrius, and therefore says the Rebbe Gash, as bizarre and as crazy as how anti-religious this sounds, it could be we have to not accept your Eidus and Mezin because we're afraid of a Pasuk Mishlei that you're afraid of your reputation, even though by doing so we're basically suspecting you of violating Aseres Nedibros. Says the Rebbe Gash, it's crazy. Not the first, not the last crazy thing in the world. You're right. People are crazy. People don't have the priorities right. Correct. The Eid Yishlaim says the Rebbe Gash, no. The Eid Yishlaim, Inam Yishlaoshiv. The Had the Lama Kablina and Sadu say La Mishum the Chashin the Eid Shekeru. A Mishum the Kevin the Nichla the Mevi Lover Rosh Shalom the Shachar the Komatli and Novi Sadu say Have a like command the Masid the Nafshe. The Lama Kablina me Nevi La Mishum the Chashin the Levi Sadu say Al Mishum the Lama Kri Klal. Not the Rebbe Gash, the second part of the Chakira, the second side of the Chakira. When you try to be Mishai, you try to decide to evaluate whether a person's a Negevadov or not, don't ask the psychologist to assess what's the risk of him lying. That's not the question. That's not the concern. Well, Mechatesi is from people lying. Mechatesi, he's not a bankrupt. He's not a Ritzach. He's not a Choshalak. Mechatesi is lying. There's only one question you have to ask yourself. Is he a Negevadov? That's it. Is there a Negevadov? Don't tell me Shtikul Torah, there's a Negev, but he's not going to like it. I don't know your Torahs. Yesh to Negev Dover? Okay. To Bist the Negev Dover? To Bist the Baal Dover? To Bist the Baal Dover, to Nishkenet. Rabbi Yisai, Arach HaKira, there's 2 days in the Rebbe Gash. So Rebbe Gash is sitting back in the year, approximately 1,000 or so. 1,050. The Riffin was born here down. 5,070. So at the end of the Kufa, the Rif. The Rif lived most of his life in Fez and Morocco. In the last few years, he had to run for his life. The Goyim were trying to kill all the Jews, so he crossed the Mediterranean, ends up in Spain. And a young man by the name of Yosef Halevi, Yosef Ibn Megash, becomes his Talmud Muvok. And the Megash is sitting now and contemplating this Kasha. How can the Gemara tell us with a straight face that we're afraid he's going to lie? So the Rebbe Gash says in the second test, the Gemara never says he's going to lie. He's talking about lying. There's no chashash mishak. The nature of the psul is a psul of negei b'dava / baal dava / eino eid klal. So achakiv that we tossed it around in Tavshin Pei Beis was tossed around back in Spain 1,000 years ago. the Rav Asher is sitting years later, was a Rosh Hashiva, and he's saying Shia, and he has some young Talmid in front of him. One is a man by the name of Rabbeinu Maimon. He wasn't yet Rabbeinu. He was just playing. He was Maimon. And he's sitting and listening to his Rebbe Mufak saying over the Shia. He's incorporating it, he's thinking about it. A few years later, he has a little boy. He's trying to chazer, third pech of a basher with him. He probably understood the cases better than Abu Zevsa Blosk had him, maybe. And there's a little young man by the name of little Meishela asks his father, he says, I don't understand. He probably didn't say it in that language, but I said in Arabic. He said, I don't understand. He said, Dos is a, he definitely didn't say Dos. He said, Dos is a Nagamadov, what's for Nagamadov, father? There's nothing to be afraid of. Tati. Okay. Abba, somebody, there's nothing to be afraid of. Rabbeinu Maimon says, that's a good kasha, Rabbi Moshe. You're on the right track of learning. Let me tell you, that kasha was asked by my Rebbe, the Rebbe Gash, asked that same kasha, and gave two terutzim. Wow. That's the sugya. This is it. Let's say a little bit of basu chavtesa, a little bit of basu minkah. So Rabbi say, this machlekes rishonim, what the nature of the psul, what the gevur dovah is all about, is now about to repeat itself in another sugya of Rabbi Basra. Back to Lot. This was Memhei, I'm sorry. Back to Memberi, and to Mem Gimel. There's a famous sugi about Negev Adavar that must be understood in light of everything we've been talking about. There are multiple parts of the sugi. We're going to pick up the second half of the sugi. Two lines in the bottom. B'nei Yesh Digim Sefer Torah Shalehen. The Sefer Torah in town, Nebuchadnezzar, is stolen. And they catch a guy trying to pawn off Sefer Torah somewhere. They catch a guy with Sefer Torah. They bring up the base then, and now a Din Torah is taking place. This guy claimed it's his Sefer Torah, we're claiming it's our Sefer Torah. A whole Din Torah, a whole fight. Who's going to be the Eidim? Who's going to be the Dayanim? Who's going to judge this case? Who's going to testify in this case? What's the problem? We're all Palidover. It's a Shul Sefer. So the Brisa says, Ain't Dayanim the Dayanim I say here? There ain't me being right, man. Chair I say here? You got to go find the. Like sometimes you have situations where the case happens. And you can't bring a jury from that place, right? Sometimes it's too tricky. Everyone's the Gebedover. Everyone's got prejudices. I'm not even good. You got to go out to another place. It's a very hard thing. Today is very hard. You know, maybe in the olden days that system worked. Now, every case that's so hot button topic, the whole world knows in 1 second all the details of the case. It used to be a mole. If you had a case in one county in Nebraska, so you move over 20 miles, so the people didn't know the case. Yeah, the whole world knows the case. Whatever it is, but in the old days, so obviously the eight of the other of that city are no good. The verse says, why are they no good? Vimiso, the stalk of Betremidayo, Ladainuk. Why don't they walk away from the case? Namely, the eight of the other say, we have nothing to do with the Sefer Torah anymore. We won't use the Sefer Torah. We won't come to Shul anymore. It's a lot of aid to be very, very big tzaddik. I'm not sure I have to volunteer not to come to laning days. It's too long anyway. Tachron already. It's too long. I'll come on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Sundays to show. I won't come on Mondays and Tuesdays. I don't want to hear the Sefer Torah. I don't want to be part of the Sefer Torah anymore. I'm a solid sign from the Sefer Torah. Which is not a bad idea. Not a bad suggestion. But that's a problem. What's the problem? Shani Sefer Torah Lishmiya Koy. What do you mean you're going to be Messiah yourself? You're not coming to Shul to hear Chris Dutton. Not coming Shabbos to hear Chris Dutton. Of course you're going to hear Chris Dutton. So what are you going to be Messiah yourself? You're always going to remain. The Gemara did not suggest the possibility I could maybe move out of town. That could work, but it wasn't so realistic. There's one interesting idea. The Gemara wasn't even Oilal Hadas. The Gemara is saying, you have to come to Shul, you have to Eleni. Listen to this. I got a suggestion. Make a breakaway Shul. Can you imagine? Make a house minion. Have them come to Shul. Are you talking to work? I said, wow, it wasn't even a Hava Minyan, Shabbat Hava Minyan. The Gemara's wildest rape screamed, so I was going to make a breakaway Minyan. This famous Ma'aseh I've told the Olympus with the Ramah. the Trubas Aramah, where there was a whole sichsuch, there was a couple supposed to get married on Friday, and then they got into a fight at Iksuba, Maislach, and the girl was a Yisraimen, and the whole Sipur. And the Ramah wouldn't let them daven Meir on Friday night in Shul until they solved the problem, until the both sides agreed to the wedding. And then the Ramah was Mesadak Dushan on Friday night. Hours after Tzeis, he writes. It was hours after the stars came out, he was Mesadak Dushan in Holy Korban Atam for Lachom Mitzvah Peruvu, you're allowed to get married on Shabbos, the whole Shiloh. So the Ramah writes in that Shuvah, he said he held up davening in Shul for 2-3 hours. He would not let them daven Meir until this issue came to a head, until they resolved it. So he reads his Chuvah Ramah. So if you live in, you know, you live in America and in Tarshish Bebe, what's your kasha on the story? Held up Shul. So go next door, make a minyan in the backyard, make a minyan across the street, live in there. So it wasn't Ila al Hadas. Somebody can daven that in Shul. How much a crazy should happen in such a thing? So comes the Gemara and says that if not for the technical quirk of that everyone needs a Sefer Torah, Ikaron, this would work. There's really nothing fundamentally wrong with walking away from town. I mean, so you really could walk away. If you could mamash leave town, so it would work. So all the Yishayim are this bad about the kasha. The Gemara was entertaining the possibility that I could just walk away from the case and now be an aid, now be a dayan. There's a famous Gemara, the fifth Rambam Kamer, it's a Merasra, Kum Chav Chesem, and Aleph. Oh, complicated story. Let's say Reuven is related to Shimon. At the time that the window was broken, the time that the murder took place, Reuven is related to one of the Balei Dov. He's related to the owner of the window. But by the time Reuven comes around to testify in court, he's not related to Shimon anymore. Why is he not related to Shimon anymore? You can't get rid of your brother. You can't get rid of your what?
Wife.
Get rid of your brother-in-law. Right? So if your boss's wife, or his wife died, so they're not related anymore. So comes the Bryce and says, Kol shetchilas of apostles, if at the time of the Rias HaMaise you were related and you were apostle to be an aid, even though B'Shas HaGodes Eidus Veveiz and you're no longer related, tough luck. That's Pasul Minatari. You can't be made. If it was Tchiloso B'Kashrus, the Sofa B'Kashrus, the Emtzim B'Psul, that would be okay. So let's say, for example, Reuven saw somebody break Shimon's window. Shimon was not related yet. It was the day before the Chasara. And then he becomes brothers-in-law with him. And then a month later, he divorced his wife. And then 5 weeks later, he comes to court. That's okay. Because B'Shas Rias HaMaisa, he was not related. B'Shas HaGoseza, the fact that he was married for a few weeks in between. So come all the Yishayim in the start and say, what's going on? How can the Gemara say, L'stalko betrei minayu, just walk away from the case? And the only reason why they can't, because they have to come to Leining. Forget about them having to come to Leining. How does that help to walk away from the case? Even though B'Shas HaGodev and Beis Din, they're not Balei Dover anymore, but they were Balei Dover originally. They were apostles at the beginning. If they're apostle B'Shas Ginevus Sefer Torah, Ginevus Sefer Torah is like they're breaking the window. So anyone who was apostle B'Shas Tchilas Ha'edus, because Ha'edus Vein, the Shas Ruiyas Ha'edus, if they were apostle because they were members of that city, they were part of that shul, they were Meshuvah to the Sefer Torah, B'Shas Ruiyas Ha'maisa, what would the Gemara dreaming? L'Sal Chavei Treminayim. How can the Gemara say such as wild Havamina? And the Gemara says, you're right, the Havamina is a great Havamina, it's a Tachar, right? Except for the quirk that you can't walk away from Sefer Torah, because you have to get laid. What's Pshat? It's Pella. It's Pella. So all the Rishon are bothered with this Kasha. Everybody's bothered with this Kasha. So comes the Rashba and poses this question. The Rashba was not the first one to ask this question. The Rebbe Gash already alluded to this question. The Rabbani asked this Gash. I put the Rashba and the Rashba is Mesakeim, the different approaches. Frek the Rashba, the second line in 6 Machavika Lameda, Chimistalkan I have it, but Edith Chilos Vasef Bekashras. Afilu b'dina mominus. The fair should run yishtaychulim. The cost of a rabbi zav zel shene. Kiba in and hachi hanim b'pasos to gufa b'pasos to kurva. For hachi b'shem chashadu d'negi b'edusim chidasal chashadu k'sherin b'en leidus b'en l'din ad kan. Boom. What's the turn to the rabbi? The din of chilas of the psul doesn't apply to these guys in town. You know why? Why are these guys possible to be Edom? They're not possible to be Edom. That's the answer. They're not possible to be Edom. We can't accept them because we have a little bit of a concern of what?
No gamma, no.
Say the words. We're afraid what? They may do what? They may lie. We're afraid they may lie. Says the rabbi. When you're dealing with someone who's not possibly Yedus, there's nothing wrong intrinsically with them, it's just a chashash b'shaker. So you only have to ask yourself one question. Is there a chashash b'shaker or is there no chashash b'shaker? Right now, when these guys walk at the Beis Din and they testify, they say, if the Torah was stolen, lo yitzu, you can walk away from Kriyas HaTorah. Let's say they told us that Mamash moved to a different town, or they had that breakaway video. We don't need the same Torah anymore. Do they have any reason to lie? They have no incentive anymore. What about them? Who gets the Torah? What the Ghana keeps it, or the ex-shul that they broke away from keeps it? What about them? So they have no incentive to lie. Says the Rebbe, but Medrash Amurim, you have to start analyzing where they kosher b'shas tchilas eidus. That means where they are relative b'shas tchilas eidus. But if we're not dealing with relatives, we're not dealing with psuli eidus, we're talking about chashash b'shakir b'almas, chashash b'shakir, we just want to know right now. We can't register, we can't accept eidus, and we think the guys are lying through the teeth. So the answer is they're not lying, because they have no reason to lie right now. 3 weeks ago, they had a reason to lie. What do they have to do now? But right now, they don't have a reason to lie. So says the rabbi, when you're passing your psuli eidus, you have to look at all times along the timeline of eidus. Maybe b'shashir y'semai, maybe b'shashir b'shashir b'shashir. But the Gev and Dov is this Kim Sulei, this is just Chashash Peshach, they just have to know right here and now, are they Chashash or not? That's the Teretz of the Rav, not Teretz the Boar. This Teretz obviously only fits with the first Biur of the Rimagash, that the Gev and Dov is not really possible. It's just Chashash Peshach. We're going to go to the second Teretz of the Rimagash. So Rashi continues. Loshen Achar Pirush. The Gabi Mamon Lamikri Tchilos of the Psul, the Kaver the Matle Hanomine Laber Aidus Uklau, Hashtahu the Choilation Aid of the Tchilos of the Self of the Kashrus, the Shaita Lav Aid Uklau, the Aid of the Meliatzvai. So the Rosh from there derived it. Let's look at the Gebedov through a different set of lenses, to Teretz number 2 of the Rimagash. Gebedov is a Baldover. A Baal Dover, Zok, the Raven, is not an apostle. He's worse than that. You know what he is? A Baal Dover is not an aid who's apostle. He's a what? He's a not aid. You can't be made on yourself, not because there's something wrong with you. You can't be made on yourself because that's not what the word aid means. What aid means, another party who's a witness to something, not the Baal Dover himself. The Baal Dover is Dishkein Chalon Shebe. And that makes, believe it or not, because you're so not an aid, that makes matters better for you. You know why? B'shas Riyas of Isa. Ooh, I was an aid apostle. Gaval, B'shas Riyas of Isa. Chfin Baal Dover. No, you weren't. You weren't an aid apostle. You were what? You didn't register. You didn't make it into court. When do we begin to discuss your eligibility to be an aide? Once you're out of the picture, once you're moved to another town. At that point, that's your tchila. Your tchila, your kosher. You can be made. The only time the Gemara said, is the din of tchilas of the psul, I want to be made for my brother. When does the clock start ticking for a relative to be made against another relative? When does the Shas Eidus begin? There are two stages of Shas Eidus. There's Riyas HaMayis and Agodas Eidus with Eidus. Riyas HaMayis and the clock's ticking already. What label am I labeled with at Shas Riyas HaMayis? I want to be an aid for my brother. I'm an aid. I have a big hat that says, I've been an aid. And we, what do we write at the bottom of the word aid? It's an aid puzzle. So I get that smack, I get that psul that's chal on me, called an aid puzzle. Albeit it was early on in the game, that's the chance across the world. Yada, even b'shas riyas ha'mayis apostles. So comes the Rabbi and says, Azal lomdus, it's counterintuitive. Because the Baldover is so bad, he is so not an aid, therefore he's not subject to the chisaron of riyas ha'mayis apostles him, because riyas ha'mayis, he wasn't an aid yet. Only the Karov, who was an aid, will be an apostle. It's chalon b'shemei apostle, and once you have a shemei apostle, the game's over. Even though b'shas hagavim vezin, you're alone with an apostle. Doesn't matter. Riyas ha'mayis apostles you. Well, each teretz in the Raivit needs like its own world. It's a whole day of shiur just to understand each teretz. But one thing is crystal clear: that the 2 days in this Raivit is Rashba, or a reflection of the 2 days of whom? Of the Rimagash. It's two radically different solutions to the same problem, based on the two different ways of understanding the Gemara Daf Mem Hei. So how you learn Daf Mem Hei is going to impact how you learn Daf Mem Gimel. How you learn Daf Mem Gimel is going to impact ultimately how you learn Daf Mem Tes. How do you know you're behaving the same? What's wrong with them? Two very, very different approaches. Rabbi say, there are other approaches in the Rishonim to this very topic about how do the Gemara think you can walk away from the Sefer Torah. So we have to hopefully see much of tomorrow what those other approaches are, which go down different routes than the Rimagash. And then we have to circle back to the Ravid second terrace, because the Ravid just told us something unbelievable. He told us, not everybody who can't be made is created equal. There are, and I'm not even talking about Chashash Meshachas anymore, I'm talking about within people who are apostle Eidos, there are Eidim or Eidim Psulim, and there are people who are not even Eidim in the first place. And sometimes being a non-Eid may actually be to your benefit, rather than to be an Eid apostle. So that requires a lot of understanding what the ramifications of that statement are. Hopefully, we got a lot of work cut out for us. Especially tomorrow, we'll pick up from this Tekuda in terms of the Sugya B'Devi.